you hear me enough in the class, right? Don't need to hear. This is actually one of the reasons I'm putting it, is my co-author of the book can listen to it and figure out what I'm thinking. That is one of the other reasons I am putting the recording there. Okay. So the last two classes were more introductory. So now we get into the real meat of the topic. And the first thing is about representing axioms and the environment. Okay. We discussed a little bit of this. We'll discuss more of this. So what we are trying here is the first thing is we want to figure out what are the axioms. I mean, if we want to design an autonomous agent, we need to figure out what are the axioms that the agent can do. Okay, in other domains also, we are trying to figure out what are the different things that can happen. That's basically axioms, and how they change the world. Okay, so that's the first thing we want to do. So that's what the representing axiom is. And as I have told you before, if there are n properties of the world, then there could be 2 to the power n different states. Okay, so let's make an example. Say we have a block. So this is an object, block 1. Okay, and so there are 2 blocks, block 2 and then another block 3. And say these blocks can be on table. Okay, so the number of properties here are, you can have on table block 1, on table block 2, on table block 3. So these are the things that can be true or false. So if there are 3 such things, so the number of states can be 2 to the power 3 is 8, and basically one state is where none of them are in the table, another one where is on table B1, another one is on table B2, another one on table B3, then on table B1 and on table B2, 5, on table B1, on table B2, on table B3, then on table B2, and on table B3, table B1, on table B2, on table B3. So there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's basically taking any subsets of this, and so if there are n properties, that could be 2 to the power n. And here we are assuming the properties are either true or false, but you can generalize it. Say it can be that it can be instead of true or false, it can have some values, but in general, it's exponential. Okay, so if we have exponentials, so these are basically the 8 possible worlds, and say we can have axioms. I'm going to do many examples. So I have this thing, so let me call this, say, S1, S2, S3, S4, S5, S6, S7, S8. Okay? So if I want to write what will happen if I do an action on these states, so I would have to write, so these are my states, and say my action might be, so I might have a simple, here there might be many actions, so one action is, say, pick up some block, pick up X. Okay? You pick up the block or put down X. So these are kind of various actions. Now this is, if I put X here, that means X can take values block 1, block 2, block 3, so this has become 6 actions. Okay? 6 different actions if I do them independently. Now if I want to figure out or represent the effect of these actions on the state, I would have to make a table like saying S1, S2, S3, S8, And then for S1, what happens if I do, say, pick up a block 1? What happens if I do pick up block 2? Okay. And then I will say what are the states. So this is state, action, and then resulting state. So if there are n fluents, then this is 2 to the power n. If there are m different actions, then this is m. So there's basically this many rows in this table. Now if I think of columns, this is 1 plus 1 and depends on the resulting state or states. Okay, sometimes in some domains, if the action is non-deterministic, by doing something you may have multiple states where you might get into. So this might be a set up to, again, 0 to n, maybe. So this is kind of 2 to the power n multiplied by m. So the size of this table multiplied by, say, 2 plus n or something, n plus 2. Anyway, you don't have to wait. I mean, this itself makes it very bad to try to even think of representing this knowledge about the world in this form. Okay? I mean, if you're taking algorithms class, you know if it's like n is 100, it's a very big number. If n is 1000, it's a huge number. And I mean, you're thinking of properties of the world. I mean, if there are 100 chairs, and if you're trying to record where these chairs' positions are, and you even make a grid, different positions, it's just huge. So in simple domain, it's just not possible to think of representing the environment or the effect of actions on this environment, on the state, in this way. So the goal is, the first goal is, how do we succinctly, so that's why I underlined it, express the change in the state of the world due to an action. Okay? So succinctly is very important. How do we do it? If we want to really develop an autonomous agent, we have to store this knowledge somehow. And if we have to store this knowledge somehow, then we have to store it in a manner that is possible within the existing parameters, within the existing memories, within the existing computers. So anything exponential is not good. So let's think of how we are going to do it. So I kind of on purpose, I'm giving you many examples. So let's think of, I mean, this is one example, but we can continue with this example. So I have a block, let me think of this as a block, and it's on table, okay? And I want to describe the effect of the action pick up this block. So if I ask you, okay, explain me or describe what happens if I pick up this block, so what are you going to say? And I have like three different, as I said, block 1, 2, 3. So there are three of them, okay, on this table. And let's say 1, 2, 3. And I want you to tell me, describe, or how are you going to write this knowledge in English about picking up, say, the block 1? What would be the impact of this on the world? Okay. Okay, so let me erase some of this. And so pick up block 1. So tell me in English what you want to say. Don't give me any, just say it as an English sentence.
Yeah, first of all, my
no, don't start with first of all. Just explain me what happens if pick up, if I do action pick up block 1.
No, I'm always in.
Okay. So if I pick up block 1, I will hold B1 in my hand.
Should we add block 2 and 3 or 2 on the table in the description as well?
Um, Okay, so what do you want to add to
block
this?
Block 2 and 3 are on the table.
If I pick up, I will be, so if I pick up block 1, I will hold B1 in my hand, and block 2 and block 3. How do I know there's only two other blocks? Okay, okay, let's assume for that, and block 2 and block 3 will be in the table. What about block 1? Is it still on the table or not? Okay. No, we just assume there's three objects, so just making it simpler. So as a human being, I mean, this is probably okay, because human being will assume that if I pick up block one, I'll be holding block one in my hand, and an average human being will assume that if I pick up, if I'm holding the block one in my hand, then it's probably not on the table. Which necessarily not might not be true. I mean, I can, if I am holding, and still can be in the table. in certain circumstances. Right? So maybe you want to add that about the environment, that if I am holding a block, it is no longer on the table. And so if I pick up block one and hold and on the table, and the hand is not empty. So there is the positive part of this, is there's a style of describing this. So we have gone away from using tables to a different form, right? We are definitely not talking about tables, and this is definitely a little better approach. So if we look at some other examples, so this is an since we are talking about agents, so one of the common word we use with agent is travel agent, right? Even though nowadays we use the internet and don't call the travel agents anymore, but let's think of a travel agent, and you tell the travel agent that, okay, you want to be in, say, New York tomorrow, okay, or at NYU. That means if you have a really good travel agent, you can just exactly tell where, and you want them to figure out how you're going to go get from Tempe to NYU. Okay, so there again, the travel agent would try to, I mean, not explicitly, but if you are trying to make a electronic or a autonomous travel agent program, then you'd have to think about what are the actions that I will be doing, and what will be the effects of these actions, and how it will take me from the state I am in now to the state I want to be in tomorrow. That is, today I am in Tempe, tomorrow I want to be in NYU in some certain room. Okay, and again, you think of actions there, and the action would be you can take a flight from Sky Harbor to different airports in New York, so each of them would be a different action. Then you can go from Tempe to the airport, you can take a cab, or you can get a ride, and I mean, in from New York, from one of the airports to go to NYU, you can again take a cab, or there are various options there. So you have these actions, and again, you need to be able to express the effect of these actions. So if we want to say, take a cab take cab from say x to y, and we'd like to express the effect of this action. Okay, so in English it would be, if I take a cab from say x to y, then I will be at y and not at x. Okay? I could have asked you, and I'm guessing you'd give me something like this, right? So the question is that how do we go from such a description? Okay? So this is one part of the description. Okay, this is fine. So now the next question is, okay, we have this description, so we want to ask questions. Okay, and the kind of questions we start with is, it could be saying, if I take a cab from say Sky Harbor to JFK, and sorry, not take a cab, so take a flight, right? And take a cab from JFK to NYU. Will I be at NYU? Okay, I want to ask the correctness of this control or this plan. That take a flight from Sky Harbor to JFK, and then take a cab from JFK to NYU. And will this be correct? Will the answer be yes or no? Depends on where I am at. If I am in Tempe, this will not work because I cannot take the flight. Right? I have to get to Sky Harbor to be able to take the flight. So I will have descriptions like this, and I'm going to ask questions like this. Or I could even ask a question more, saying, find me a plan so that after executing it, I will be in NYU. So I have this, and I have such questions. So I need to be able to figure out, how do I represent this knowledge? This is written in English, so English is hard, and I would like to answer such questions. Okay? So what we are going to design is a language where we can actually express these things as well as these things in that language, which is close to English but not English. It's kind of more precise, and which allows us to answer this question. Okay, that's kind of our bigger goal. Any questions? I'm not clear of the question. Okay. So what would be a non-symbolic language? What's
it?
To me, English is imprecise and math is precise. So it would have to be a precise language so that the meaning of what we write is very clear. So in that sense, it should be more like math. Okay, it's more like a programming language. It's very, very clear. The semantics is very clear. English is English, it has a lot of ambiguities, okay, and so it should have a precise meaning, because the computer cannot deal with ambiguities by itself. So the steps here in any design is we need to list the actions, we need to list the properties of the world, and then we need to get down to describe the effect of actions on the world. Okay. So this I already talked about. So the language we are going to discuss, a simple language, is called A. Okay, the first letter of the English alphabet, and so now we move on to another example, which is kind of self-contained and much simpler, and no variables, so makes life a little easier. So in this particular example, which we'll be using quite a bit, so let me explain. So the example is about somebody shooting a turkey. Okay, so there's a gun. You can load the gun. You can shoot at the turkey. Turkey might die. Okay, and you assume that the aim, your the aim at the turkey is perfect. I mean, it's a big animal; it cannot run away. So, if you have the so that's the domain, loading the gun. So, if you want to think of the actions here, so you have loading the gun, and what it causes. Is it causes the gun to be loaded. Okay. Then there is shoot. Shooting causes the turkey to die if the gun is loaded. So there are certain assumptions of how you model it. Like, so you, here we are thinking of a gun where you can actually shoot even if it's not loaded. So it's a semantic thing, because you can have a different domain where you can say that you can only shoot loaded guns. So shoot is possible only if the gun is loaded. So here you're assuming, I mean, shooting means pulling the trigger basically. You can pull it. If it's not loaded, then nothing is going to happen. So, and that's the kind of decisions you have to make when you model a domain. You have to, the more accurate it is, the better. So the actions here are load and shoot. And the fluents here are loaded, the gun can be loaded, and the turkey can be alive. Okay? And to differentiate between true and false, so we say loaded is true means just loaded, and loaded is false means not loaded. We use, that just makes it simpler to represent, because binary, so if you want to say something has a value false, we just say not of that is true. Okay? Yes? Not the simplest one. So we start with without any time in it. And the way we're going to progress in this class is we start with the simple and we'll start adding new features one by one. Rather than giving you the whole thing which has everything, we'll just go through step by step. So in the simplest one, we only represent very simple actions and their effects, and see how, so that you, and this particular language, we are going to go deeply into it. This is the language we are going to actually, not even this language, a simpler version of this language, we are going to study about how hard it is to do this kind of reasoning. What is the complexity? Is it NP complete? Or when it becomes hard, what is easy? Even in this simple language, how hard or easy it is to reason. Only for this language. The other languages, we won't have time to go over the complexity, but for this one, we will go over in detail. So the examples here, the sentences are, this is the English like. So this is a little more formal, and this is the more formal version of it, more formal language. So far we are doing in English. So in the more formal one, so what we have is we say load causes loaded. Okay. So it says English like, I mean people can understand it, but it's very precise, as we'll show later. And then suit causes not alive if loaded. Uh, The last one, some mistake. So the last one, I think, can first take it out. The third one, executable suit if loaded. Okay, so that one is a typo. No, that's not typo. So what I mean is, you could have load causes loaded. You could have suit causes not alive if loaded. Okay, and instead of the second one, if you have a slightly different model of suiting, then you can have the other two. That means suit will cause not alive, but you can only suit if it is loaded. Okay, so the second can be replaced by the third and fourth, depending on what your meaning of suit is. Your puzzle is a little bit.
So if you say should cause it, not alive, the object condition of being loaded.
Right.
So that means we shouldn't have the notion of loaded at all.
No, we have the notion of loaded. It's just that that comes in the next line, which says you can only suit if it is loaded. And I can give you another the example I was giving you last time. If you go to the court and marry someone, then you are married. But this action of marrying someone can only be done under certain circumstances. Okay? It's not like that. It's wrong to express the knowledge saying marrying, say, Y causes married to Y. If, say, Y is older than 15. It's not like you can marry someone younger and that will cause you to be married. So there are certain conditions. You can do certain actions only under the conditions, and if you do that action, then it has an effect. Okay? So when you say suit causes not alive, it's basically saying if you do the action suit successfully, if all the conditions of suit are satisfied and you are able to do it, then after you have done it, the turkey will not be alive. Okay, that's one way. I gave you these two different ways because there are different domains. You have to, this is a point which you have to carefully think. Sometimes you might write it unless you know the distinction, you might write it the wrong way. While the first one says you can always suit, but only the turkey will die if it is loaded. And the other point to note is, even though I have made it either or kind of thing, that load causes loaded is always there, and you can either have suit causes not alive if loaded, and or the other two, suit causes not alive and executable suit if loaded, right? It does not mean that if I use this if condition, like suit causes not alive if loaded, I cannot have executability conditions. I can still have executability things. I can still say that I can have load causes loaded, suit causes not alive if loaded, and executable suit if has gun. I can suit if I don't have a gun. Right? So there are just different facets. So an action can cause some effect. An action can cause conditional effects, like only those effects will happen if certain conditions are true. And then there's another kind of condition. An action may have executability conditions, that means when you can execute that action. So these are different things. They, in a domain, both can be present. So you could have, you can add all these things together to this executable suit if has gun. Right? If you don't have a gun or whatever, you need to suit it, you cannot suit. Okay, so that was the example. So a general form is very English-like. Is you want to say A causes F if P1 to Pn. A is an action. It causes a property F to become true if the properties P1 to Pn are true previously. So you are in a state where P1 to Pn is true, and then you do A, then in the resulting state F will be true. That's what the meaning of that is. And executability condition says that executable A if Q1 to Qm basically means that if Q1 to Qm are true in a state, then only then you can execute action A in that state. It's a very simple language. I mean, we're trying to do this in English. So now we are trying to get it to very make it very precise and simple, and we're going to go back and write that in English in this language. Okay. So this one you can write, say pick up B1 causes in hand B1, and not empty hand, not hand empty. So you have to decide on what your fluence will be. Not hand empty, and we're going to write so not in hand B2, not in hand B3. So this is, this box here would be written like that. I mean, would be written in that language as here. So now when you write it precisely, it becomes a little more clear. So that's another good part about writing in a precise language, is you realize if something is missing. So now you try to think, is there an executability condition for pick up B1? Right? Can I just anytime pick up B1? What if my hand is not empty? Means I have already full things. If I'm using hand empty as a property of the world, what if I have, like, can I pick up one more? Maybe not. If I have already, my hand is full already, then I cannot pick up, right? So that's kind of another importance, or the importance of having a precise language, is when you figure out what are the structures, you then realize that, okay, if I'm, am I missing something? So what should I write about the executability of picking up? So I will say executable pick up B1 if, so on table B1,
hand empty.
It's a simple language, just showing you that, I mean, what I'm trying here, as I said, like in databases, we have a goal in mind. We want to be able to design autonomous agents in a systematic step-by-step process. So I'm giving you the step-by-step process. The first thing you want to do is describe the actions and the environment and how the actions affect the environment. And we need that language for that. Okay? And so basically, in this simple language, a description of the domain or the environment and the actions is these two things. It's a collection of facts of effect propositions and executability conditions. Okay. In a simple, if you think of the simplest domain, that is what it is. It's a collection of these facts. A collection of a bunch of A causes things and executable things. That's all. Many simple domains can be expressed that way. So that is one part. So what do we do next? Are we done? So at some point, yeah, I would like to, when I go from one slide to another, I want you to figure out what should be my next slide, what should I talk about without looking at it. So we found a figure, we figured out this language where we can express the effect of accents, right, on the world. What should we do now, next? Say it again. Language for representing the world or state. Okay, let's hold on to that a little bit. Because in this simple language, we can express how the world changes. And, so you want to express the world, right? Okay, so. Okay. So you want to express what is true, what is false, and what is the state, current state. So that's a good point. What else? Louder. Goal? Okay. What else? So look at the English thing here. What I was asking, what is it that we want to do? Here and right. Huh? Yeah. So here, what I said. So you, this it covers a lot of the things. So here, what I said is, I have this knowledge about how accents will change the world, right? And what do I want to do with this knowledge? I want to ask such questions, right? So the question is, how do I express these questions? Because I want to take this knowledge and I want to ask such questions. So in these questions I wrote in English, so my next issue would be, how do I express this question? And together with that, it's also important that what you said is, when I ask this question, and when I was answering this question, an important aspect of this question is, what is the current state? Right? If I take a flight from Sky Harbor to JFK and take a cab from JFK to NYU, will I be at NYU? To answer this properly, I need to know where I am at now. So I need to express the state of the world, and I need to express how I need to figure out how I can express this question. So again, in A, there's very simple syntax for this. I'm just going ahead and changing my slides. I don't follow the slides very closely. It's there. So the query is, the information about the state, you can write something like initially F. So we want to make it very simple, and we want to say initially this is true, initially this is false. Just simple. Okay? And we can ask queries, is F going to be true after I do A1 to AN? So in this example, here I would have is, so if I want to ask this question, I can write something like, say, initially at 10 p. And my question part would be, will I be at NYU after I take flight from Sky Harbor to JFK, followed by take cab from JFK to NYU. So this is kind of my syntax for asking this question, and this is my syntax for expressing facts. this is the sequence of actions. No, I gave you the syntax, right? So query is F after A1 to AN. So A1 is an action, and so A1 to AN is the sequence of actions. Yes? This means where you use it. If I say it's a query, okay, where you use it. And that's why I didn't go to that observation at the top. That's a little more complicated observation, which was there in the original language A, so I put it there. But in my current thinking, it's a little, it's more like an oracle. Okay? So what the first one says, and which I skipped, is an observation saying F after A1 to AN. That means, and so what can be the meaning of this? There are two possible meanings. F was observed to be true after A1 to AN is executed in the initial situation. Okay? And you can think of that way. Another way would be F would be true in the resulting state if A1 to AN were to be executed in the initial state. I'm using the word situation here. In the initial state. The second one is more like an oracle, because really you cannot observe it. Somebody just has to tell you that this will be, this is what would happen, right? So in the query we have F after A1 to AN. The meaning is, will F be true after executing A1 to AN in the initial situation? And information about initial situation is given by initially what is true. State, right? No, it's a sequence. So A1 followed by A2 followed by A3 up to AN. Not a? No, it's a complete sequence. Yes. It's a complete sequence. So for now, we might ignore the observation of the first kind, F after A1 to AN. Is basically, if you remove A, if you make N equal to 0, then that becomes initially F. In the research papers on A, there were observations of the kind F after A1 to AN. Okay? And it's kind of flawed, such observations are flawed, because the second meaning is probably more appropriate, in the sense F would be true, that would be a okay meaning. But then that's not an observation, that's the oracle, like somebody has to tell you, like, you cannot observe it. And the reason the first meaning is wrong, it's not, it might not be clear to you now, but the way we define the semantics, or the way semantics of A was defined, one can write that F after A, and can write F after B. Okay? It can be consistent. But in reality, if the world evolves with only one action, then only one of A or B occurred. Okay, if the meaning is F was observed to be true after, say, just forget about A1 to A, just think of A. So if I say F after A, then the first meaning is F was observed to be true after A. And then if I write F after B, then it would mean that F was observed to be true after B. Now in the real world, you'll ask, which one is it? Is it A or B? If A and B are different. But the semantics of A, the language that was given in the literature, would allow this to be a consistent theory. And that's why the first meaning is not the right meaning. And the second meaning is right, would work, is fine, but it's not an observation. It's an oracle, somebody saying, if you do this, this will be true. I mean, I cannot observe it. Yes.
You can observe a particular factor true or not, like F is true or not at a particular time. But for example, you say there are two possible.
that's what I'm saying. The second one is not a observation, that's a oracle. The first one says F was observed to be true after A1 to N. I can observe an action. I can see somebody hitting my car. I can see somebody taking a cab. So actions can be observed. I mean, you can have sensors to observe it. Okay? Yeah, you can observe things.
But sometimes you may just find a fact that you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you may not observe everything, but it's possible, definitely possible to observe actions. Somebody opening the door, someone hitting your car, you can observe it. Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's always possible. Just possible to observe. Okay? So what we have syntax so far to deal with is we have D, the domain description, okay, we had in the previous slide, where you describe A causes F kind of thing and executable. Okay? Then we have O, which at this point let's assume just has initially. Next slide simple. And then we have queries which ask about F after A1 to AN. Okay? And that would capture nicely all the things we want. And then the question is, okay, now you have the language to express this, right? So you have the language to express D, you have the language to express O, you have the language to express Q. So the question is, when can I conclude Q, the query, from D and O? Okay? If I can, so that's when the reasoning comes. So the first part is kind of representing the syntax, and then the semantics or how you can reason with it. And I'm doing the simpler ones, so let's go with some examples. Okay. So I have several domain descriptions, and so before I do formally answer, give you the semantics, again it's useful to see how, as human beings, we would do it. That might give you a clue of how we can write the mathematics for it or write the program for it. Always we try to see how I can do it, and then we try to see the way I can do it. Can I formalize it? Can I program it? Okay? So I have the domain descriptions. D1 is load causes loaded. Okay? And the suit causes not alive if loaded. I'm trying to make this causes as bold, if should be bold there, to make sure that they are kind of a keyword of the language. I'm using bold there, but not successfully. The second one is very similar. Here I just separated load causes loaded, suit causes not alive, and executable suit is loaded. Similar. So now observations, the first one, O1, is initially not loaded and initially alive. O2, initially alive. Okay? Now O3 is initially alive, and let's we have an oracle there, not alive after load suit. We'll see if we use that or not. Let's deal with O1 and O2 and see what happens. So the first question is, from D1 and O1, can we conclude that not alive will be true after doing load followed by suit? So how did you figure that out? Is everyone clear that the answer is yes for the first question, plan verification? No. Everyone is sure, right? Okay. So tell me why.
You want to know if not alive is true. You take the room which has not alive as the implication, you check the precondition for it is there two and like two on giving backwards to them. In D1 here, second rule has not like as
so is that how you did? Is that how you figured out? Okay. How did somebody else figure out? How did you figure out? You try to do low. Okay. So you did. So what you were saying is, you started with the O1, and you know that in O1 initially not loaded and initially alive, right? Is that how we started? And then you apply load and suit. How did you figure out? Tell me again.
Yeah, I just tried to execute the two load and suit.
You execute load and suit where? In which state? D1 is the effect of actions, and O1 is gives you information about the initial state. So when you say I try to execute, what do you mean? How did you execute them? See, I'm trying to ask you deeper, kind of clear questions, so that that gives an idea of how we are going to formalize the semantics, how we are going to give the meaning. Okay? So I want to find out how exactly you did it. So be very clear about it, then maybe that will suggest how to do it. And then you execute load in what?
In
O1. So O1 has information about the initial state, and you execute load in that state. Okay? So let me write this down actually. You started with O1 and you executed load, okay? And then you executed suit, then you checked if the question is alive, if not alive is true in the resulting state. Is that what you did? Okay. Okay, so what did you do? Fine, just tell me. Yeah. So you started with the not alive and looked for a rule. You looked for. So you looked for a rule, or using not alive, you went ahead and looked for a rule in rule in D1, which causes not alive. Is that what you did? Okay, but why did you look for it? Because I already asked you for saying not alive after load and suit, so you should have just directly gone to suit. Okay, no, that's fine. It's a few minutes in the class, so there's many ways to proceed, and you proceed that way. So. Okay. So let's try to make up another question. What if I ask the same question about D1 and O2? Ask the same question about D1 and O2. Like, does D1, O2, okay, entails not alive after load and suit? trying here is also trying to teach you a little bit of a research methodology, is that you have a particular goal in mind. You want to be able to, our goal is to define when DO enters the query. Okay, as a researcher, as someone who is taking graduate class and further, you like to be able to go from vague ideas, examples, to formal definitions. That's an important part of research. Okay, the way to do it is to have examples and see how you're going to do it in your head and then formalize it. And that's what I'm trying to do in this, train you a little bit. So we did one example, so now we say, okay, let's try a little harder example and see how you're going to do in your head. That might give you an idea of how to formalize this. So if you have D1 and O2, which is initially alive, just initially alive, what that means is if you have O2 with initially alive, what that means is you have no knowledge about whether the gun is loaded or not. You have incomplete information about the initial state, and that's possible. Nowhere is said that you have to have complete information. Okay? So now the question is, will the turkey be alive? Or not alive, will the turkey be dead after you load and shoot with this information? It will be, right? How did you figure that out?
Because there is nowhere in the condition state we can load only when it is not loaded. So whatever circumstances it is under,
So the thing I wrote in the black, so if you write the steps there, what will be the steps?
Also, it would be start from O2 that we have initially alive. And I would say, start from O2 we have initially alive and carry on load and shoot. So if you load, we still have D1, then it's still probably loaded.
What about you? Can you do your backward way to answer this? Not alive depends on, I mean, you're doing shooting just before it.
Yeah.
But the second thing, second rule is that, like, it has to be conditioned. Okay. Shoot and loaded. So, shoot is an action and loaded is a condition. Yeah. So they're two different things. If you use it, no, I'm not saying don't use D2. Suit you can do any time, yes.
So the only open condition right now is if it's loaded or not, if you can satisfy by using load.
Okay. Okay. So let's say you can do it. So now question is, if I ask you a question about, if I give you a domain description D and observation O, okay? And ask you a query Q, F after A1 to AN, and you have to tell me answer yes or no, right? So, what would be the algorithm of giving this answer? And which way you can write this algorithm nicely, or easily describe this algorithm? Okay, our goal is to go from examples to formal descriptions of algorithms, right? Formal semantics, or formally describing how we can do it in general. This is an example how we can do it in general. So in general, if I have A causes F, is this kind of thing, executable thing, and then I have initially some things, and then I ask you a query, is F after A1 to AN true? Okay? So now based on these examples and your thought process and what you heard from your other colleagues, other students, what would be a good way of answering such questions? Hmm? verification, yeah. In general, not. No, this, yeah, this is for this particular example. So now generalize it into. So, but there might be more than one initial state, right? Because if you have incomplete information, you may have more than one initial state, right? See, if I have O2, it's initially alive, right? So I have no idea about loaded or not loaded. So I will have two initial states. In one initial state is alive and loaded. Another initial state is alive and not loaded. No, to start, try the first action, you have to try it on a state, right?
Yeah.
So be clear about that part. So what happens if there are more than one initial state?
So I will probably will try.
You say try all the states.
Yeah.
Try with respect to each of the initial states, possible initial states, try.
So we might have three.
Yeah, you want to try.
I think it's better idea here to go backward and come from the result you have, combining with the actions you can take, and you can go backward and have two sets of things, one set of observation and one set of what is the domain knowledge.
Uh-huh. And why is it better? Or?
Because it's that thing he's been mentioning could lead you to
multiple initial states.
Yeah. So this is basically one process, but it would get diversified by the end of it a little bit. I'm not sure how much.
Okay. So at this point, don't worry about the complexity of the algorithm, but worry about what is the simplest way to write it. Okay, because you are defining semantics. So there is another thing you need to separate out. When you are defining a language, okay, you want to define the semantics, what is the meaning of this entailment. And when you do that, your goal is to make it as simple to describe as possible, as easy for other people to understand it, for the semantics. Then there is the next phase of implementation, and there you worry about the efficiency. And at one point you have to prove that your implementation is correct with respect to your semantics. So when you define develop languages, the semantics should be, the criteria is which is simplest to write, simplest to explain to somebody. Okay? It's not, you don't, at that point you don't worry about the complexity of the algorithm. You're not going to use your semantics to write your program. The program you want, that's a separate phase, and you want to write the best possible program for it. And that can be not understandable to many people. That's fine if you write a very smart program, and you, of course, you need to prove it. I mean, the program needs to work. It cannot do something else. So it better be the right program, but you don't necessarily need to explain everybody what the program is. So when you're thinking of semantics, think of what is the simplest way to explain to other people, what is the simplest way to write the semantics. So in this case, the simplest way to write would be very similar to the black one, is actually saying that look at the observations and find all your possible initial states. There may be more than one. Now for each of these initial states, do this sequence of actions one by one. And check in each of these resulting states if you're, in this case, not alive, or if whatever your goal is true. If it is, then it entails. It's fairly simple to explain someone. At this level, actually, there are two things which I'm skipping here, which are not so simple. It's just simple but need to be precisely written. Is given O, what are the possible initial states? Right? And the second one is given an initial state and an action, what will be the next state? Right here it says, started with O1, executed load. So how do I know that if I start with some state, what is the next state after I execute? it's given by, but I have to, if I'm talking about mathematics, I have to write it down. I have to precisely write it down. And okay, so let's go to these two parts. Is given this description D, O, and a query, let's forget about the query part now. What are the what are the possible initial states? How do I define that? There may be more than one. Given D and O, actually given just O, what are the possible initial states? It's a simple answer. What is it? How to define it? O is a set of facts, observations, like initially this, right? So from that, how do I find out what are the set of initial states? Any state that has the initial observation.
I don't care about the other.
You don't care about the other values, whatever the values are.
Yeah.
But I mean, since I haven't defined what a state is, so that's an acceptable answer. Because I haven't defined what states look like. But yeah, if we can at this level, initial state can be, if I, it's basically any state which agrees with my O. If I have initially not loaded, then that initial state should have not loaded in it. I haven't discussed the representation, so that is fine. Okay. So now we got the part about starting with what are the initial states. So now if I give you a state, and with the description of D, right, I give you a state, and I give you the description D, and I give you an action A, and ask you what will be the next state. If I do that, then we can answer this question, right? And if you notice what we are doing, if you notice now, is we define the language, this for D and O and queries, right? But to answer this entailment, we are actually going back to the table. What I ask you now is basically the table entry, right? Which is okay. The point is, we don't want to explicitly write the table. But in our calculation process, we might recreate the table. It's a very useful thing. Of course, implementation time, we don't want to again recreate the whole table. Implementation, it will be too big. We don't want to store it in the memory. But the structure of the table is useful in our defining the meaning of defining the entailment. So again, if we follow the things in the black, we have started with O1, so we don't know how to figure out what O1 is, right? What is the initial state? We've given O1, so we have given the initial state. And when we say execute load, so we are doing an action. So the question is, given the description D, given an action A and a state S, okay, what would be the next state after doing action A in state S? How do I define it? Given S and given an action A, so what would be the next state? How do we define it? So let me actually make the state precise so that you can come up with the definition more clearly, okay? So a state, let's assume that a state is a collection of things that are true. Okay, anything that is not there is false. Let's assume states like that. Close. Yeah, let's make it a succinct representation. So state can be like alive is a state, or loaded is a state, or empty state is also a state where loaded and alive are both false. Okay, that's kind of the definition. Let's use that as our representation of a state. It just says what is true in that state, and everything that is not there is false. So states are complete, and I'm talking complete states. So now if I have such a structure, such a set S, and I tell you do action A, what would be the next state? Yeah, no, no. So think about this and try to write down without looking at the slides of this year or previous year. Try to write down mathematically what will be the next state. Okay? So you can think of a function. So I want to write phi of S and A. Phi is the transition function of what would be the resulting state of doing action A in state S given D. So let me. So define this basically. Phi, this is a domain, and this is a state S, and this is an action A. Is equal to what? Okay? And S is basically a set of things like, say, if I say P1, P2, this means P1 and P2 are true in S, everything else is false in S. Okay? So do you understand what this is, right? What I want you to define? S is a state which is a set of fluents, positive fluents, which are true in that state. Everything else is false in that state. And A is an action. D is a domain description where we have A causes F with P1 to Pn and executable. Those things are there. And I'm going to asking you, what will be this? What is the resulting state? So this will be something like you'll write, this will be a some set. What is this set? You need to define that. If you define that, then we are kind of very close to defining the meaning of this language. Okay. When you do research, you have to be able to precisely define. And that's another thing I'm trying to teach you, is being able to precisely define your thoughts. It's a very, not an easy skill actually. Going from your hunch, from your ideas, from examples, to precisely define something, is a very important part. Okay? So we are almost done. I have slides, so don't cheat. All these things you want to learn how to do it, okay? So make an effort on your own. If you're not clear in your question, at least now you have the recording to try the last few minutes of the recording to understand what the question was. Is it clear? And we'll discuss, but I want you to try. I don't want it to be like I give you things. At this level, it's always helpful if you try yourself, and then if you can do it, that's great. If you cannot, then at least when I tell you, if you're close, then you figure out how to do it. You learn the method of how to come up with this definition. Okay, see you on Thursday.